Easter. Come on in, have a seat. We will get started. Come on in, everyone. Come on in, have a seat. Find your seat. Find someone you know, meet a friend. Happy Easter, everybody. We wanted to welcome you guys to our church. We are glad you guys are here. For those of you who are visiting today for the first time, we wanted to say welcome. We're really glad you guys are here. We have welcome folders for those of you who are new. They look like this, and they're in the backs of your seats in front of you. They've got some information in there about our church, a letter from me explaining certain things, also a contact information card that you can slip into that little church box that's there at the back on the table there. And we wanted you guys to know that we are grateful that you chose to spend your Easter with us. And we get to celebrate today. You picked a great day to visit, didn't you? You picked a great day to come because we are going to celebrate today because Easter is a wonderful time. We've been walking through the story of the Bible in our sermons. We've been going through the whole story, what it's about. And we happen to land today on the best part of the story. This is where the best of the best of the story happens, and you happen to pick today to come. We're grateful for that. Because it's Easter, we want to do things a little bit different, so you notice the kids are with us right now. Usually we have the kids out, but right now we've got the kids with us. They're going to stay with us for the first portion of our service, and a little later on, there'll be a time where I'll dismiss the kids to go back to the nursery if you want to send your kids back there. And so I wanted to let you guys know that, and we're excited to have them experience Easter with us as we celebrate today. Why is Easter so great? What's so great about Easter? What is it? It's not because of the bunnies and the painted eggs, right? That's not what it's about. Those are such really poor examples of what Easter really is. I mean, they're nice and bunnies are great and Easter eggs are fun, but really, really doesn't quite get how great Easter is. Easter celebrates the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's what it does. But to truly get our minds and our hearts around this event, it is useful to take a step back and let's lay some groundwork first. We're going to walk through a few things to move us towards understanding what Easter is. So, one of our first things that we need to understand is that all people and all ideas and all governments and all ideologies and philosophies, everything has to deal with this problem, death. We all deal with it. We all will face it. It's something that is a part of life. It's indwelt in everything that we have to go through. It's like this enormous wolf that is waiting for us on a river that is flowing, and we can't stop the river. We can't get off of the sides. We are stuck, and at the end of that river is this wolf that is waiting to devour us. We have to deal with it. We have to face it. There's nothing you can do to avoid it. It is there, and it's gonna get all of us. There's a number of different reactions we can have to death. You can be terrorized and try to flee from it, but we know that doesn't work. You can accept it and just fall into a despair at the fact that it is there and it won't go away. You can fall into a depression. You can try to fight it. You can try to fight against it and resist it, but it's more powerful than we are. You can think it's inevitable. This is inevitable, so I'm just going to ignore it and try to live my life as best I can and just try to forget the fact that I'm going to die one day. Some people in some groups think of it as an illusion. It's really not that bad because we're going to be reincarnated. So it's just something that we can get through and it doesn't really matter. Don't really worry about it. It's really not that big of a deal. Well, here's our story. Here's what Christianity teaches us about what do we do with the wolf? How do we deal with the wolf? Death is the result of our separation from God, and we are separated from God because of our sins, the things that we have done in rebellion against Him. All of us deserve to be devoured. We all deserve from our sins to face this death. But here's the good news. Even though we deserve that, God hasn't abandoned his kids. He has not left us alone. And so as we've been walking through the story, I've talked about it being in four parts, four acts in the story of the Bible. And in Act 1, he kind of leaves people alone, but that doesn't bring back the blessing and the life that God originally created. And so he starts again, and this time he picks a certain people, the Israelite people, and says, "You will be my people of blessing. I'm going to bless you, and through you I'm going to bless everybody. Just obey what I tell you to do, and you will be blessed." But they don't. And so we stay in curse. We stay under death's reign over top of us. And then we got to the third story where God didn't just leave us alone. He didn't just tell us what to do. He gave us the perfect example. And we walk through how Jesus comes and he brings blessing and he's doing all these miracles and he's teaching the people and he's loving people beyond anything we've ever seen before. And then last week we talked about how that story ends. We took the perfect example and we crucified him as a criminal. That's who we are. That is our nature. We take the perfect example and we think he needs to die. And that's where we left it off last week. But in that death, the greater death was overpowered. Through his physical death, the greater death was overcome. Because here's a part of our story that's true and distinct about us. We understand that there's a wolf that's waiting for us at the end of the river, and we can't stop that. Here's what God also says, that there's an even bigger and badder wolf that's after that one. It's called hell, and it's eternal, and it's everlasting, and it's even worse than we can imagine. How do you deal with that wolf? How do you deal with that one that's coming? We're having a hard enough time with the physical one that we're coming up against. What do we do with the bigger, badder wolf? Well, here's what we find out, is that through the bite of the first wolf on the cross, Jesus actually muzzled and conquered the second wolf, and he holds mastery over it. Through his death on the cross, he gains mastery over the bigger, badder wolf. He muzzled it. He put a leash on it, and it obeys him, and it calls him daddy now. That's what we learned. Through his physical death, Jesus paid the penalty of all sins and saved us from experiencing the spiritual death of hell. Jesus declares in Revelation 1:18, he says this, "I have the keys of death and of Hades." Amen. That's some power, folks. That's some power. Although we will all taste the bite of the first wolf, the resurrection, the second more imposing wolf will not touch us, those who believe. The resurrection allows us to not taste the bite of that second wolf. For those who believe, because of his death, he has snatched those keys. And he controls who can get away. Those that believe. Jesus offers us a way of escape to everyone who believes, and this offer is open to you as well today. John 5, verse 24 says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." And then Ephesians 1, 7 says this, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." And this is why we celebrate the cross, folks. This is why we celebrate it. It's because through it we have salvation through the first wolf and from the second wolf. Here's how you receive that salvation. If you don't know it or would like to be reminded of it, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short, but God has paid the penalty for our sins. He lived a righteous life, a perfect life that earns him the right to be with God forever. And he offers that to anyone who will accept it. The acceptance comes through faith in that offer. You just have to believe and put your trust in him. You trade your life for his life. He takes your sin, you get his righteousness. And what ends up happening is after you face that first wolf, the very next thing is you see God himself. And you will live forever in eternity. All you have to do is believe and put your trust in him. And if you want to know more about that, come talk to me after the service. We got more to talk about with the resurrection and how exciting it is. But I want you to know that of all the things that we're doing, that's the most important. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't know that there is a second wolf that's waiting for you beyond the one that we can't beat, but there's a way that's out, you need to know what that is. And we want you to accept that. So please come talk to us after the service. At this time, I'm going to ask Luella to come on up. She's going to read a scripture for us. You may have a seat. So we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to do something that I'm really excited about. Some of our ladies came to us and had this idea, and we wanted to do it this morning. So the cross starts out horrific. The cross starts out as the death of the one that we're following. This is the death of the Messiah. The perfect example dies on the cross. But at the resurrection, that becomes our way out. That looks very different. The cross looks very, very different for us today because of the resurrection than it did on Good Friday. And so what we're going to do is we've got some flowers here, and we're going to have families come forward. My family will go first. And we're going to, for those of you that feel like, for you personally, the cross is beautiful, because it brought you salvation. You're going to take one of those flowers. We're going to have some people cutting the stems, and you're going to stick it through the wiring, and we're going to decorate the cross to be as beautiful as it actually is, to show, to demonstrate what Christ did for us. And so at this point, I'm going to ask my family to come forward, and we're going to start. And go ahead, if you want to, come on forward. We'll make a line here, and we will select your flowers. You'll select your flowers, and then we'll put them on the cross. This is where our story starts, is with the cross. When we look back at the story of the Bible, everything starts out with the fall. The fall comes from eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so death comes from a tree. And we want to return to the tree of life in heaven, but to get there, we had to go through the tree of the cross. But now, because of the work of Christ, we have life, and we have life anew. Amen? Amen. All of these flowers represent actual lives, your spiritual lives that you have because of what Christ did for you. The cross is beautiful because it gives us life. But the cross isn't all that happened, and it's not alone. It needed the resurrection to complete it. And so I'm going to ask Joel McDaniel to come on up. He's going to read another scripture for us, and then we're going to have another song, and then I'll be back. Missed at this point to go back to the nursery. The resurrection, this is at the core of our faith. This is at the center of everything that we believe. Our two ordinances, baptism, communion, what do they have right in the center of the symbolism? It's the resurrection. in the story, after all the hype, all the excitement that Jesus brought, all the miracles, and the hope of blessing that would return, Christ has died. That's where we left it at the story. Hope is gone. Despair reigns. That's all that we have. Jesus described that period the following way when he was arrested. This is what he says in Luke chapter 22, verse 53. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. That's how he described it. But then after his body lay lifeless in a tomb, on the third day, his life returned and he rose again from the dead. Matthew gives this account in Matthew chapter 28, verse 2 through 9. He says this, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Hallelujah. Elsewhere, we learn that Jesus appears to the disciples and he appears to over 500 people, letting them know that he's alive. And he doesn't just appear as a spirit. That's happened before. Samuel came back to Saul, and Moses and Elijah, they come back, but they're in spirit form. His body is back alive. He is fully back alive. Why is this so significant for us? Well, one is just obvious, right? He's alive, and he was dead, okay? He was dead, and now he's alive. He went right to the wolf's mouth, and now he's back. That's pretty big deal, amen? He conquered death. That is the first thing that we notice about this, so that is so significant. The great wolf did not overwhelm him. He overpowered the wolf. Our greatest enemy is not sovereign over our great Savior. There was no hope for us against the wolf, and now there is. Now there is. Hey, that's neat. That's nifty. Thanks, Nigel. I think that's cool. No. Hold on. I don't think you get it, okay? I don't think you get it if you're just like, all right, that's cool that he came back to life. And I don't think you understand all of that, what that means there. He didn't just conquer the first wolf. If he owns the first wolf, do you know what that means? It means he owns the second wolf, the granddaddy wolf. That's what it means. It means he not only killed, he not only conquered the first wolf, he now owns the second wolf. Why is there physical death, right? Sin, that's the story. If Jesus conquers physical death, the epitome, the big symbol of sin, then that means he's conquered sin. And if he's conquered sin, then the greater wolf of eternal hell has no bite. Hell has bite because of sin. If there's no sin, if he's conquered that, then hell has no bite on us. The greatest wolf has been overcome, folks. So, he conquered death itself, that's amazing, and he conquered spiritual death, eternal hell. He conquered that, and like the scripture says, he has the keys. That's some control. But I'm not done. That's not all that's important about the resurrection. His resurrection also validates the sacrifice that he made to God the Father for our sins. We see this in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, in the speaking of Jesus, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The resurrection, folks, declares and validates that he is the Son of God, approved by the Father, able to offer forgiveness of sins, and his sacrifice for our sins was accepted by God. That's what the resurrection tells us. So reason number three, the resurrection assures us that his sacrifice, what he did on the cross, was accepted and therefore can be applied to us and our sins can be taken away. So that's the third reason. Oh, and there's more. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. You catch that? He was raised back to life because of our justification. So, in other words, his righteousness wasn't overlooked in this whole process. So he doesn't just go to the cross and God says, all right, now I'm going to kill him and allow him to die and forget who he was. No, his righteousness wasn't overlooked. His righteousness passes past death. It goes through the wolf and it passes on, which means the righteousness of Christ is able to come to us. He is raised so that we will be justified. Do you know what that means, justified? It means that we are made just. We are made righteous. We have been declared no sin in us. That all happens because of the resurrection. The cross happens, and Jesus' righteousness passes through death and is still able to be with us, to be applied to us. If we don't have any justification, if there is no righteousness, then we have no path to God. If there is no resurrection, we're stuck. We can't get back to the Father. Paul says as much in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. He says this, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. That's a downer, right? The whole thing that he's in prison for and gone through all this suffering for, hey, it's all worthless if there's no resurrection. That's what he tells the people. But why? Why would that be worthless? Why do we need the resurrection for our faith to make any sense? He says this, because if Christ has not been raised, you are still in your sins. You catch that? Without his resurrection, we're still in our sins. His resurrection accomplishes, completes the transaction that happens on the cross and allows that to be passed to us. If Jesus just dies but is not resurrected, then he is still under sin and death. He's under death. He can't control death, and he can't rescue anyone from death. He has to be resurrected for him to be able to pass that on to anyone else. See, the resurrection beats death, and by beating death, he is beating sin and the devil. He is controlling them. And by doing that, he is able to do that in our lives. And his justification, his righteousness, then can be passed to us. Amen. The resurrection turns the cross from a bloody, gory mess of wickedness and travesty into beauty and love and everlasting life. This is why we're excited today, is because of that, because Easter gives us that. What good is it if the Father does not accept the sacrifice? It's no good. But the resurrection tells us God the Father saw it, he recognized it, and he accepted the sacrifice. And now we can live with him. And that sacrifice can be given to us, like we talked about, through faith. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. This is the one that Joel read earlier. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Oh my goodness. Let me read that again. It was impossible for him to be held in its power. Death, the great wolf that we all fear, it was impossible for them to hold him down. Death cannot hold Jesus down. That's amazing. So reason number four, the resurrection completed the transfer of Christ's sacrifice to us. And that is why Easter is a wonderful day. And right now I'm going to ask our band to come up again. We're going to sing a song about that. But we're still not done. We've still got more that the resurrection gives to us. Go ahead and have a seat, guys. We're still not done. There's more. If that's not, he overcomes the baddest wolf ever and the baddest wolf that's even badder than that one. And there's more. He turns tragedy to triumph. That was one of the lines in that song. That's what he's doing right now. A live man is still a fighting man. And Jesus comes back to life so that he can fight. After showing himself to the witnesses in their presence, he ascended into the clouds, and an angel declares that he will return in the same manner. He's going to come back in the same manner. What's going to happen when he returns? Let's look at Scripture, Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who, remember last time when he was coming into Jerusalem on a donkey? When you come in on a donkey as a king, you're coming in peace. What do you do when you're coming on a horse? You're coming for war. Here he comes. He's on a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His enemies will be judged. He will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And at the end, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 says this. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Satan burns. Death burns. Sin burns. Hell burns. We will never be harmed by them again. Amen. And all of your struggles and all of your ailments and all of your fights and quarrels and pain and all the things that you have right now in your life that are so deeply wounded you as they have me are gone. Because they come from sin and death. And those things go straight into the fire. And they're not coming back. Because a live man is a fighting man. So number five, the resurrection promises that Jesus will defeat every single enemy. And that's what the resurrection tells us. We're still going. I still got some more. And then God promises that he will dwell with us. That's what he promises. He promises he's going to dwell with us, that he's going to wipe away every tear, that there will be no more pain or death, no more fighting or betrayal. This is what he promises in Revelation. The curse will be no more, and we will see God's face. How will we be able to experience this? How do you get to that place where there's no tears, no pain, no suffering? How do we get there? Because his death on the cross erased our sins, and his resurrection allows us to be resurrected as well. And this body of flesh and decay and destruction will be gone. And we'll have a brand new one that's just like Jesus. Here's the proof, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. We are promised that he will raise us again. Romans 6, verse 5 says the exact same thing. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, that's the carrying our cross and denying ourselves and giving this life over to God and trusting in him. If we are united with him in the likeness of his death that he died on the cross, certainly, it says, certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. If we are like him in his death, we will be like him in his resurrection, and we will live again. Our bodies, our minds, our souls will be perfected, flawless, and glorified. Reason number six that we're excited today is that the resurrection tells us we're going to have eternal life as well, resurrected. And that is glorious. And guess what? In the meantime, while we wait for our time to come, where we will face the first wolf and then we will see the face of God, until that glorious day, the resurrected Christ lives with us now. A live man is a fighting man. A live man can also be a loving man. And let's think about that for a second. Christ is with us now. He's alive, and he lives inside of us. And the proof of that we're going to talk about in Act 4. It's the Holy Spirit living in us and doing all the things that it's doing. Christ is here with us. He's alive. He's not dead. He's in power. He's controlling us. How do we know that? Because we were lost, and we were sinful, and we fell into our flesh, and we did all sorts of crazy stuff. And then when we got saved, he's starting to change us. He's making us different. All those things that we've been doing wrong, he's changing, and we're seeing that amongst our people. Are we not? As we love each other and as we get to know each other, you're seeing your friends change in front of your eyes. Things that they used to do, they used to fall under. The problems that they used to have, you're seeing God work. How can he work? How is he doing that? Because Christ is alive. Because he resurrected and he's with us. Jesus promised he would not leave his disciples as orphans. After his ascension and after the Spirit's coming at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer, gives us a new nature, and lives through us. We're going to look at this in the weeks to come as we go through Act 4 of our story. More about that. What does that mean, that the Spirit lives in us? But here's a great way to describe it. Here's a great way to picture what that looks like, of the Spirit living inside of us. Paul gives us this in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Our job now is to go allow Christ to use our life for the blessing of the world. Reason number 7, we're excited today. Jesus resurrected lives with us now. Amen. So let's recap. There was a lot. I gave you 7 of them, okay? Sorry. The resurrection's awesome. It's not my fault. You can talk to the guy upstairs. He did all of this. So here are the 7. Here are the 7 reasons why we're excited about the resurrection. Number 1, he overpowered the first wolf, death. That's pretty good. If you beat that, you're in good shape. Oh, but it keeps going. Number 2, he overpowered the second wolf, hell. Number 3, the resurrection validates and declares his sacrifice to us. It lets us know that this is applied to us. Number 4, the resurrection completes the process of applying his sacrifice to us. Number 5, it assures that he will return to defeat every single enemy and restore his blessing. Number 6, his resurrection allows our own resurrection and promises it that we're going to have that. Number 7, his resurrection allows us to live with Jesus now as he sits at the right hand of the Father with all authority and as he dwells with us through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let me pray, and then we have a few more things to do. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us, and we are so elated that you rose him again from the dead, that you accepted his sacrifice, and now we get to serve him with everything we have, Lord. Thank you that you are here. You are here in our midst, and we are grateful to be your children. Thank you, Lord, for conquering death for us. Thank you for conquering sin and hell for us. Thank you that we will be resurrected and live with you forever, where we will be perfected because of your righteousness, everything that you did. God, we take 0 credit today. But God, we give you everything because of it. I pray, Lord, now as we do these last few elements, God, I pray that your presence would be so felt here for these lovely people, your people. Allow us to sense you and to commune with you. And we pray this in your name, amen.